break yourself, fool!
All right, everybody, the Jackson Reaction Podcast has returned. We've been away for a long while, but we decided it's time to bring it back. And what better time to bring it back than when Rose Jackson is cracked out on pain pills? You may remember our episode. If not, you can go back and check it out in the archives. They've all been uploaded to SoundCloud, where Rosie was on pain pills due to her kidney stone. And what a fun episode that was. So now we have Rose Jackson fresh off a surgery. I'll let her tell you more about it.
Yeah, I am sans the gallbladder as of right now. First surgery I've ever had. I was a bit nerve-wracking, a bit scared. Wasn't sure what to expect. Most certainly wasn't sure what to expect anesthesia-wise. Found out after the surgery was over that they put a tube down my throat, which I was not prepared for. And has left me rather hoarse and sore-throated for a couple days now.
Sore-throated?
Sore-throated, yes. Okay. That's my word. Anyway, I am a bit still cracked out. Pain meds. They got me on some really good Norcos. In a little bit of pain. Not as much pain as I guess I could be in if I didn't have pain meds. But I have four nice incision cuts in me, which is kind of going to be lovely.
So we call this one a very serious episode of the Jackson Reaction Podcast because I was instructed during the pre-op doctor's visit where we met with the surgeon that after the surgery, you wouldn't need to cough, sneeze, laugh,
bend over,
various other things, but a laugh was pretty high up there. So once we found that out, we had to push the surgery off like an extra 2 weeks because we had tickets to go see Tom Segura, and Rosie didn't want to miss the show, but she certainly couldn't go to a show, have a surgery on a Friday and go on a Saturday. And surprisingly, her surgeon is a fan of Tom Segura and said that was a totally perfectly acceptable reason to delay surgery. So
yeah, Dr. McCutie-Cute is awesome, because like I don't know what other surgeon would have looked at you and go, okay, you're gonna take off surgery to go see a comedian, that's stupid, you need the surgery. But Dr. McBride was like, right on, man. That's a perfect excuse. I'd do it.
He's like, I was listening to him on the Joe Rogan podcast last weekend when I was traveling. So he understood. So I'm going to work very hard on this episode not to say anything funny, not to do anything to make Rose Jackson laugh. So far, so good. I haven't made her laugh since we've been home from the hospital. So
he's been very serious.
It's been very,
very, very, very serious.
So as we go back and talk about our comedy trips, hopefully Rosie won't remember any of the funny stuff and laugh, because it's not allowed.
Oh, so, I might could laugh a little bit, just not a lot. Just a wee bit wouldn't hurt.
A wee bit.
Yeah.
So, like you said, this was your first surgery. You worried yourself sick for
weeks,
a month or more.
Months.
You spent the first week or so Googling every known possibility of things that could go wrong or not go wrong. Or
yes, I was Google, Miss Google MD for the better part of a whole month.
Yeah, so that was
after
fun.
Well, especially after I found out that, you know, I was gonna have to have the gallbladder out, and you know that I had a ginormous gallstone in there, which surprising, I guess, was bigger than what even the doctor thought once he got in there and got it out. That's what he told me.
Yeah, the surgeon come out and said that the surgeon had taken longer than initially expected, which, you know, kind of worried us in the waiting room. I was in the waiting room with your dad and brother. And it was kind of taking longer than we expected. And then they called me up to the desk and said, hey, just letting you know, he's still working on her, but everything's fine. And the first thing he said when he walked in the room was, wow, I'm surprised she wasn't in more pain than what she was, because her gallbladder was very, very inflamed. And the gallstone was even bigger than what it appeared in the CT scan. So he goes, but, he goes, I just took my time and we got it out of there safely and everything's good. But it was just a little worse than what he initially expected going in.
I'm just glad I didn't wake up with about a 6-inch, 8-inch cut on my side, because typically that's how that happens, is yeah. They go in, they make the 4 incisions, they do the one thing's the camera, one's the air that they pump in you, and one's to snip it, one's to pull it out. You know, it's like all these 4 things in you are doing different things to try to get this thing out. It's supposed to be minimally invasive.
Right.
But once they get in there and if there's any, like, inflammation or it's, like, infection, they have to change to what they call an open procedure, and then that's where they cut you. They actually go and cut you, take it out, and all that.
Old school.
Yeah, do it old school. And I was so afraid I was going to wake up and lift my gown up and be like, holy shit, I got like 20 staples, you know. But
yeah.
I mean, instead I lifted up and I got 4 little holes, so it was better than that.
After you realized they had actually done the surgery.
Yeah, because that was really weird. It's like, I was really nervous, so I asked them to give me something to kind of chill me out before the surgery. And so they give me that, and I was feeling pretty decent, you know, just like, you know, chill. And so we're on our way to the surgery room, and you know, I'm kind of drifting a little bit, you know, I could feel, you know, that I'm getting sleepy feeling everything, so I'm chill, I'm cool at this point. And they get me in there, they put me over on the other table, and no sooner than the woman can walk to one side, she shoots something in my IV, it just goes black. I mean, no counting back, no nothing, I mean, just like a second, boom, out. And I wake up and I'm in another room, and there's a nurse, a male nurse, standing there fluffing my pillows and such, and I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, they gonna do surgery on me today or what? He starts laughing. He's like, they already did it. I'm like, what? And so I'm trying to get up out of the bed, and he's like, no, you can't get up. And I'm like, well, you know, that I'm really nauseous from the anesthesia, so I feel like I'm gonna puke. And he gives me a shot of anti-nausea medicine, which helped. As long as I was in the hospital, I ended up puking my socks off when we got home. But
and he pulled a Garth on you too. You know, you got that cool little bag. You know, if you're gonna spew in this.
Yeah,
I've never seen one of those kind of barf bags before.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Circular barf bag. It's kind of, I don't know. It is kind of futuristic looking. I didn't get to use it, so I'm keeping it in case, you know.
It's still around here.
So. Yeah, stuff breaks out later, but.
Yeah, we'll keep it handy because you did have to spew. It would have been handy a couple of weeks ago, but we'll go back
to
that.
Well, that's the thing about these Norcos they have me on. What I was taking when we went to the Andrew Dice Clay show, I had took 2 7.5 Norcos, and they've got me on 10s now.
Yeah.
So, which are obviously, it's a mix of hydrocodone and Tylenol, which makes it a powerful combination, more so than just like a hydrocodone or what back in the day we took as Lortabs.
Yeah.
So I took 2 of them when we went to Dadger Dice Clay. And I mean, I didn't eat a whole lot, but I guess the mix and the car ride and stuff, like at the end of that podcast, I puked.
Yeah. So that on that trip, our buddy Neil Taylor came over from Mississippi and rode with us. He'd never been to a comedy club before, and so he rode with us over to Stand Up Live in Huntsville to see Andrew Dice Clay. Now, anybody who knows who Andrew Dice Clay is knows that's a hell of a guy to break in your first trip to the comedy club to see Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah.
And Neil, I forget sometimes that Neil's a few years younger than us. You know, we grew up on Andrew Dice Clay. We grew up where Andrew Dice Clay was the dirtiest guy in comedy, and 2 Live Crew was the dirtiest rap group, and they come out around the same time, to where you know, if you even said their name around adults, you know, then you'd probably get a whooping, you know.
Yeah, and I did, a meanie.
And you did for sneaking and watching it in your room.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been a long time since then. So Andrew Dice Clay's career has taken, you know, some strange twists and turns since then. But to me, his material was much, much funnier now than it was back then.
Yeah.
Where, you know, back then it just seemed like vulgarity for the sake of vulgarity. Where it was, you know.
Back then you didn't have every comic, you know, doing the, you know, throwing the F-bomb and throwing this. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. Nowadays it's more common. And that's even on TV. I mean, we're watching TV at 9 o'clock and they're saying motherfucker on there. It's like, what? Wow.
You didn't get on FX and USA.
And it's like, okay, like back in the day, even the late nights on USA, they beeped out the cuss words. I mean,
or at least the major ones.
Yeah.
You might get shit slipped in there. But
exactly.
I mean, you turn that Biggie and Tupac show on at 9 o'clock right after SmackDown Live and they're dropping F-bombs and the music's, you know, unedited, and it's kind of bizarre. But
yeah, because, I mean, back in the day, like, the only place you got stuff like that was HBO and, you know, Showtime and, you know, your pay channels.
Yeah.
And now it's like regular TV, and it's just, I don't know, I guess us being the age we are and growing up in the time we grew up, it's just kind of unusual to experience that. So, you know, going and seeing Andrew Dice Clay for us, you know, it was kind of like, you know, we kind of knew what to expect and, you know, we were prepared for it. I mean, this day and time is not that common. But, like, I know there was a couple of times I'd look over and Neil was just, like, horrified at some of the stuff he was saying. It was funny.
Yeah. And then even on stage, Andrew Dice Clay said at one point something like, he's like, yeah, I appreciate you guys that have been fans of mine for years that brought your friends that didn't know me. I can only imagine what they're thinking right now. Neil turned around and looked at me like, yeah.
Yeah, Neil said he was going to have to go to church like 5 times in a row now.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
So he got broke in on the old comedy club. But
not all comedy shows are that way.
No,
I mean, you know, we see a range of, you know, comics. I mean,
yeah,
we're pretty, I don't know what kind of comic fans you would really call us, because we listen just about everybody.
Yeah, I mean, we have a broad spectrum of. So who would you say right now? And there's BB in the background. You may hear her. It's getting close to her dinner time, I guess. But who would you say right now, probably like your top 5 favorite comedians?
I don't know. Anthony Jeselnik's like in the top 5.
Yeah.
Dave Attell.
Yeah.
Tom Segura.
Yeah.
I like some of Patton Oswalt's stuff. I really like to see him sometime.
He gets a little more political than
I
like.
Yeah, he's a little more political, but man, he is funny. Sunny. I kind of like, who's the dude that done the put the Whoa Pussycat on the music box like 20 times?
Oh, John Mulaney.
Yeah, John Mulaney. He's pretty
And he's funny. Got a new special on Netflix right now, too, we need to check out pretty soon. It just came out, like, last week.
But I don't know. I mean, I like just a range of different people, you know. But, I mean, I'm more of a, I guess I am more of a dark comedy type person, like the delivery, like Anthony Jeselnik and Tom Segura and some of them. You know, they're more, I mean, and I know that it's, like, forbidden to say Louis C.K.'s name these days, but I mean, Louis C.K. is always like one of my favorites. I mean, I don't care what you say about the man. I don't care if he did whack it in front of people. I mean, he's a funny guy. I mean, his stand-up was always funny.
Yeah. I would agree with all those. I think those are some of the best right now. I'm excited about next month going to see Brian Posehn. I don't know if that's exactly how you say his name, but that's how we say it. But
yeah.
But yeah, he's been around a long time.
Yeah, and he's pretty funny.
You know, his stand-up's funny, and he's been a lot of TV shows and movies and, you know, stuff like that. So that'll be cool to see him. And then Lewis Black's coming to Huntsville later this year, which I've seen him live before, and he's excellent, and you know, I'm looking forward to you getting to see him too, and especially in an environment that small, because like when I saw him, it was in a theater with like, you know, 3,000 people, so to be on a 300 seat club should be interesting with his energy that, you know, he has in his shows. So that'll be fun, and we're contemplating maybe going to see Sinbad, who, you know, some people be like, really, Sinbad? But yeah, he was a big time comedian.
And he's funny,
and I mean, I grew up watching his comedy specials on HBO when I was a kid. Like when I was a kid, the first comedians that stand out in my mind that I could damn near quote some of their specials was, I guess, the first ever stand up special I ever watched in my life was Bill Cosby himself on Cinemax.
Yeah.
Used to come on like 4 times a week, and I would always watch it. And at one time, I could have quoted that thing. And then I started watching the Sinbad specials, and then eventually, you know, when you're little, you get turned on to, like, Richard Pryor albums. My friend of mine, Brad, his sister had some Richard Pryor albums that we found and listened to, and at that age, you really don't get him, you know, his message is always cussing, you know.
Yeah, you don't get his stuff until you get a little
older. And it's kind of the same with George Carlin, you know, his is a little smarter than an 8-year-old's gonna appreciate, but I went on later in life to, you know, like a lot of his stuff, but... But we've had the opportunity between going to Nashville to Zany's and then Stand Up Live opening in Huntsville to see a lot of good comedians that we've wanted to see. You know, like I said, Dave Attell, is somebody I didn't think we'd ever really get to see down here.
No,
you know?
Jim Norton.
Jim Norton. Gosh.
Tom Green.
Tom Green.
Which that show, I totally didn't expect to be a good show.
No, I was just going to that to get some DVDs signed and just be like, hey, I used to love his show. But he actually had a good show. But, you all right?
Hold on. This is a fair to moderate bit of paint.
Yeah. We started recording this when her pills wore off rather than recording it in the prime. She's not nearly as cracked out as... If you go back and listen to the one when she had the kidney stone and she was on the pain pills, like, there was some ridiculous shit said in that one, but this one, she's just mostly hurting more than pilled out, so...
Mostly hurting more than cracked out, which Norco's, they don't... They can give you the effect of, like, you talk a lot, like, they make you very antsy, and I kind of understand why crackheads love them, because, man, I mean, taking them and not, like, fresh off surgery and taking them is a little different. Just taking them in general, because you take them in general, they give you a hell of a lot of energy. Like, I could clean this whole house and, like, not even break a sweat.
Yeah.
And I did that.
Yeah.
But then taking them now is like, oh, my God, like, I'm numb. Like, they numb me out. Like, I take one, I'm numb, I'm good, I can lay here, I'm just chill. But then when they start coming, you're coming down off of them, it's a whole, you can feel the pain.
Yeah. So I guess we do ramble a lot when you're on the pills, but we do that when you're not on pills. So to back up to where this whole story started, so we went to see Andrew Dice Clay, and the show was good, and I was trying to bring back my wrestling podcast, so... Me and Neil was recording a wrestling podcast on the way back home from Huntsville. And I guess about 10 miles from being home, I get a tap on the shoulder. And Rosie's like, pull over, I'm sick. And so we wheeled off onto the shoulder. It was becoming a freaking monsoon. I mean, it was piss pouring fucking rain.
Bad timing.
And so Rosie pukes her guts out on the side of the road. And you hear the first part of it. Before I managed to get the recorder stopped.
And the funniest thing is you can hear Neil turns and goes, "Aw, bless your heart."
Yeah.
And then after I throw the door open and go to puke, and Neil goes, "Oh." It's pretty funny.
Yeah, initially, you know, I was like, well, okay, I can cut the end of it off. But when I went and played it back, I'm like, no, we're leaving that shit
in. Yeah, it was pretty funny. So I am on a podcast puking. That's just awesome.
Yeah, so that's cool. So, anyway, we go to, so I know a lot of people do, but a lot of people don't know who Tom Segura is. If you're listening to this and you like comedy, I highly recommend you go watch one of his specials on Netflix, be it the newest one, Disgraceful, or his older one, Mostly Stories, and I forget what the other one's called. But there, I mean, dude's hilarious. He really is. So we were super excited about going to this show, and it almost turned into a complete freaking disaster. So we postponed our surgery, and I got to work that day. So I get off work and change clothes real fast, and we hop in the car, and we truck it to Huntsville, and we're going to the late show. There's two. There's one at 6:30, and there's one at 8:45. So the line starts forming. Well, there was already a line when we got there at like 7:30. There was already a line on the side of the building, and at 7:45 we decided we better go ahead and get in that line, and we're standing there waiting. And one good thing about the second show is a lot of times to speed things up, because the time it takes them to get everybody out of the first show and clean the tables and get everybody in, they'll go ahead and start scanning tickets as you're in line. So we're standing in line, and we're all the way down the wall and around the corner, and we're a long way from the door. Girl comes by, scans our ticket, goes to the next person, and then comes back and goes, "Wait a minute, your ticket didn't scan. Can I scan it again?" I said, "Sure." So she tries to scan it again, doesn't scan. She looks at my phone and goes, "Oh, that's the problem. You got tickets to the 6:30 show." I go, "What? Like, that's a ticket for the 6:30 show?" Now, I don't know how the hell this happened. I mean, I was pretty adamant about clicking on the right thing the day I bought them. I don't know if maybe the one show was already sold out then, and it just reverted you to the other show. I don't know, but the 6 weeks that I had this ticket on my phone, I never noticed that it said 6:30.
Yeah, at this point, I'm about ready to puke in a parking lot.
So her first response to that is, "Well, the show sold out. I don't really know if there's going to be anything we can do about it, but just stay here in line, and I'll go talk to the manager." So we're pretty stressed out right then, and so Rosie's like, "Well, should we just go? Because they're not going to let us in." I go, "Well, the one upshot is they're assuming everybody that's still in this line had a ticket scan. So worst comes to worst, we're going to try to walk in this mug, and they'll either catch us or they won't. But there's no need to just leave now. What the fuck else we got to do?" So about 30 minutes passes, and finally she comes back around and goes, "Hey, y'all the ones that had the wrong tickets?" And she's like, "Yeah." So, well, they said, "Don't worry about it. Just roll through the line, and it should be fine." Whew, okay, thank God. So now we can breathe again after we nearly had a heart attack. Because, yeah, we paid a decent amount of money for these tickets, but at that point, it wasn't even about that. I didn't give a shit about the money. It was just, I had been psyched about this freaking show
forever. And yeah. It's not like he's a comedian that just comes to town all the time.
And he doesn't do a lot of clubs anymore. He's reached a level where he's doing theaters and stuff like that.
Theaters and stuff of that sort. So.
So it was highly unusual that he came here. And as he joked in the opening part of his act, which I assume probably wasn't really a joke, that he had been asked to come to Huntsville several times and he'd always turned it down. And then for whatever reason, this time he went ahead and said, yeah. So who's to say if he'll even come back? I assume he probably will, because both shows sold out and he got a good response, but you never know. But anyway, we got through the line. I'll throw this in as an aside, just so you can. People always ask about, you know, I guess sometimes I ask Rosie, like, "What's it like being around Gene? Is he funny? Is he this? Is he that? Is he an asshole all the time? Is he like Gene Jackson?" And this kind of stupid shit. But here's a little insight in what it's like to hang around with Rose Jackson. So we're standing in line. There's this chick standing there. So you go to the comedy club. You see all different sorts of people, okay? You see just all different sorts of people, depending on who the comedian is. But inevitably, you always see, like, some people who are, well, let's back that up. Not some people. You always see chicks dressed up like they're going to the club to try to pick up a man or something. It's a freaking comedy club.
You see hoochie mamas. You see, like, blinged out, like, they got the Christian Louboutins on. They got Louis Vuitton pocketbooks. It's like, they are blinged out like they are going to a million-dollar bachelor's ball.
Tits out and all
tits
that.
I mean, it's crazy. It's like, okay, like, I'm in, you know, I got a Marty Scroll shirt on and some jeans. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just normal, everyday me. you know, and it's just funny the way you see some people. So, like, we're standing in line, and I just kind of turn around. I notice the chick that's in front of me. She's standing there by herself, and she's dressed really fancy. She's got a really nice dress on. You know, it's not too slutty looking, but it's like she's dressed like she's going to church or to a wedding. More or less to a wedding is what she looks like she came from. And so I'm thinking, okay, she's in line by herself, so obviously she's waiting for some dude. So, you know, as she's standing there, you know, I'm like, okay, this is really weird. She's just in line alone, dressed like that. So, you know, here comes this dude.
No. Before the dude even shows up. Before the fucking dude even shows up. Rosie turns to me and nods towards this girl who's literally in front of us in line. She's not just several inches away. She's a hooker. What? I guarantee you she's an escort.
Well, I mean, she had that vibe to her. I mean, it was like she seemed like somebody that was on an agenda.
And I was like, how the fuck is she an escort? She's by herself. Like, well, she's here to pick somebody up.
Or
like,
somebody's meeting.
So. All right, so now you can pick back up.
Okay, so here comes this dude, okay? And this dude has on a, like, I don't know, a pair of, like, Jordans, some jeans, and a blazer. A fucking dress blazer with a t-shirt.
He's dressed like Shane McMahon to go to the comedy club.
Yeah, he's dressed like Shane McMahon going to the comedy club. He looks nothing like anything this chick would be with. Like, he looks like somebody that would pay for a hooker. And so I'm like, see? I'm like, that must be, you know, the dude that paid for her or whatever. Gene's like, yo, you're ridiculous. So, you know, as I'm standing there, we're standing in line with these folks. I hear them talking to each other. Well, they're talking to each other like they just met. I mean, like,
at one point, but by the time we got to the door, they're talking about work and
and different things like
people
that.
They know and shit, so to where you know they're
here's
not.
What I figured. Okay, oh, dude had a wedding band on. Girl had a wedding band on. I figured hookups is what I figured. I'm like, that's what's going on here. You know, she's married, he's married. They're both just hooking up or something. Like, this is their hookup spot. Because old dude is scrolling through his phone numerous times with other chicks in the picture, okay? And his main screensaver is him and another chick loved up on each other. So, I mean, that's my thing, is she's side piece, he's side piece, which I don't think if I had a side piece that would be my side piece, because he was gross. But anyway.
Well, neither one of them, because,
well,
I mean,
she's kind
of
gross, too.
Like she was dressed well, and she looked okay from behind, but then when you turn around and saw her face, like, oh, well, that's, no, I'm not paying for that.
Yeah, but I don't know. I told Gene, I said, I come up with weird things while we're in line, because I'm like, this is going to be a date line. We're going to see this on Dateline one day, like, him and hers hooking up, and, like, I don't know, like, one of their husbands or wives is going to find out and kill one of them or something. It's going to be on Dateline.
So I just always think that's funny, because everybody thinks I'm the one with all the sarcastic comments or whatever, but Miss Ryder over here is always creating a backstory for people around us, you know, that is probably just completely ludicrous.
I'm sure
anyway,
it is, but it was
I just thought that would be a fun little insight into Rose Jackson for y'all, in case y'all don't realize that I'm not the only asshole here. You know, that's making that. One minute she says the chick looks like she's dressed for church, but then she's a hooker. So how do you make that leap? But anyway,
well, it was the shoes.
Okay.
If she'd had different shoes on, I would have thought that she had hooker high heels on.
Yeah.
So that's just what I thought. And she looked awful comfortable wearing them, so I'm like, obviously she's used to them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there you go. So, don't, if you're going to a comedy club or somewhere and you know Rosie's coming, don't wear, you know, too nice of shoes or dress too nice, because she's going to make assumptions about you.
Hey.
And she's going to say
you may wind up on a Dateline.
Yeah.
You don't know. I mean, I'm telling you, if we 5 years from now, we're sitting at home on a Friday night watching Dateline, and then all of a sudden you see, it was a normal Friday night outside of Huntsville Comedy Club. And you see the scenario. There's me and you standing there. That will be dramatized, of course. You know, but...
And then that guy that we hate, you know, the way he talks, like, but did he notice the fat couple behind him? Did she know they were calling her a hooker? You know, so...
You can't make me laugh. Oh, that hurts so bad.
She didn't know that Mike and Molly was standing right behind. Okay, I'm sorry.
You're supposed to be serious. supposed to be very
okay,
serious.
All right. Let me get back to being very serious here.
You got to be very serious.
So
you'll pop my stitches.
Yeah, I don't want.
And they're on the inside.
I mean,
so
I guess that would be like a good thing for my comedy resume. I once popped my wife's stitch from making her laugh too hard.
That's not cool.
So
not when I'll have internal bleeding. I would not appreciate that.
Well, those things happen.
Whatever.
So anyway, we finally made it inside. Overcame the potential ticket debacle that luckily didn't happen. I gotta say though, that's a really cool club, and the people that run it seem to be really nice. And so we got inside, and ironically, we had the same exact waiter we had a week before when we were there for Andrew Dice Clay. And it was a good show. The opening acts were pretty funny and interesting. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I can't recommend Tom Segura enough. He's super hilarious. So if you ever get a chance to go see him, or at the very least, if you got Netflix or you got somebody else's Netflix that you have access to, check him out. I think you'll like it.
Yeah, I think it'd be a very good comic for a lot of people to check out.
Yeah. So that's our comedy travels right now. We've done some other stuff since the last time we've done a podcast. We actually recorded a podcast about our trip to see Ring of Honor in Nashville, but it never got uploaded. It got lost in somewhere along the way amongst my phone and the computer and so on and so forth. So we'll touch on that briefly just because it's an interesting story beyond the fact we were at a Ring of Honor show or any of that. Why don't you go into that real quick and tell about...
Let's see. The fact that we always find a chance to pick events that are in cities where stuff is going down, like the 1,000 Women's March, we had no idea that was happening that same day that we entered into Nashville. We come into Nashville, and I see all these people carrying picket signs, and of course, a lot of them look like, you know...
Dykes.
Hippies.
Oh.
It's more the less the term I was going for, okay. But I kept seeing them, and I thought, okay, it's Earth Day, or no, it's not possibly Earth Day, but it must be some kind of like, you know, save the planet, because I kept seeing like environmental things wrote on them and stuff, you know, which at this point I didn't have new glasses, so I can't see that good when we're, you know, driving around looking at stuff like that. And so all I see is just a bunch of hippie-looking people holding signs. So I'm like, oh, they must have a rally or something going on. Well, as we get closer and we start coming upon where we're parking down towards the downtown part, you see more and more and more, and you can kind of tell what it is. I said, holy fuck, it is a women's march. And lo and behold, we're in the middle of the 1,000 Women's March, and there are thousands upon thousands, not just 1,000. I think they said something like 15,000.
Oh yeah, it was well beyond. I mean, it was thousands.
Yeah, we got downtown in the nick of time, because we got away far away from it as we could, and we went downtown and like had us a drink and
the arena that the wrestling show was taking place in was like a block over from the Capitol, and this is like the main, like everybody was heading over towards the front steps of the Capitol where they were standing up there and having speeches and all this. But you see all these women toting signs about Trump, and you know, and you can't grab my pussy. And it's ironic that it's almost a 100% fact that, you know, every woman that's ever been photographed holding a sign that says you can't grab my pussy is a woman that no one would ever want to touch their pussy for
exactly
any reason,
like there's no reason I would have grabbed any of those women's
pussies.
That was
some of the grossest women you've ever seen in your life, toting those signs around. What, they're freaking, there were people,
they're
walking
kids,
by, they're
man
kid,
they're
holding
they're
hands with their kids in tow carrying those kinds of signs.
And you know, and we had this conversation on the way home, like, look, I can understand that there are some things that you should go fight for, and there are some things that I'm not saying you shouldn't go rally, you shouldn't have a voice for, you shouldn't have an opinion on, but I hate to say that 15,000 women in one place didn't change my mind on anything that I believe. That didn't, the vibe, the environment, their signs, nothing about that made me jump on their bandwagon for anything. I still believed the same thing I believed getting in the car going home as I did getting there. You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe, you know, maybe they turn one or two people that stand in there just, you know, out of spectatorism, just like, hey, what's going on over there? And, oh, look, it's a women's march. I feel empowered. Boo, yay. You know, just like maybe that happens. I don't know. It don't with me. And I mean, I'm pretty sure because I'm a more realistic type person. But to see these people, these grown ass people with signs, you can't grab my pussy. And just walking up amidst people, kids, children, you know? Like, you ain't got no respect for even your kids. You're using language like that in front of them. Or like, fuck Trump. I mean, I can't tell you how many signs I see. Fuck Trump. Really? What's Trump got to do with you fucking women's march?
And the irony to me, though, that I thought was was pretty funny is we walk past the Capitol building where there's literally, like you said, I forget what
15, the... 15, over 15,000.
Nearly 16,000 women out there, all piled out there with their signs and all this shit. And then so, we're like, alright, we need to get the hell away from this quickly. So, we go downtown, and we're about five blocks away, from where the rah-rah women rally is going on. And we stop at a restaurant slash bar, whatever it is, to stop and just get something to drink, sit there, and kill some time before this wrestling show. And so they had a patio, and they put us out on the patio, which was great, because then you could people watch, because we're right there on the main, you know, street there in Nashville, where all the bars and restaurants and stuff like that is. And so you just walk, you know, several blocks from this women's, you know, march, and women empowerment and all this shit, and you're sitting there, and his tractor pulls up with a trailer behind it with like 10 drunk bitches in it, just I mean, they're slobbering drunk, man, dancing, falling all over each other. And
I want to do that too. I want to go. I want, and I can't remember what it was called, but it was like the something wagon.
Yeah, the something wagon, and then there's the
party wagon, the party or something.
Thing where
it's like $30, and you drink and you party on it.
Then they're peddling. Awesome. The thing comes by, they're drunk, and they're
the pedal bar. The pedal bars. And
so they had all that shit going on. So it was just funny how, you know, right there in the same kind of confined space, you've got those opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, where you got the drunk party whores, and then the oh my god, you can't touch my pussy, fuck you Trump movement up there. And so, then we go up there to go to the show, and there's a line out front, and it's gone, you know, down and around the block there, so we have to go to the end of it to get in line, and oh my god, I would say 85% at least of the people standing in line had some variation of a Bullet Club shirt on.
I'd say 90%.
So I can only imagine what these women, as they're marching through with their signs and they're seeing all these people with shirts that say Bullet Club and stuff, they probably thought it was
an NRA rally.
Exactly. And so they would go, what are y'all here for? And, you know, at least one person would go, we're wrestling. And they're like, oh, okay.
But then when they came to you and you said it was a Trump rally.
Yeah.
I love that one's face.
Yeah, I'm an asshole like that. Yeah, Trump rally, which got over with the guy standing in front of us.
Yeah.
They enjoyed that. So anyway, it was a cool show. We had all the ROH shows we had been to in Nashville previously had been at the fairgrounds, and so this was the first one we'd been to at oh gosh, I can't think of the
Municipal Auditorium.
Yeah, Municipal Auditorium, the same place that I went to WCW Starrcade 96 and saw Hogan versus Piper at, and it was, you know, it was a big crowd. It wasn't full like it was for Starrcade, obviously, but it was, you know, respectably full.
Well, and I noticed it was more full because we had to wait in line forever to meet people.
Yeah, like, so you got waited. The opportunity to meet your hero.
Oh yeah,
Marty Scurll. So how was so? We met him. We met the Young Bucks. We met Dalton Castle. So tell everyone your feelings.
Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was awesome. It's like, okay, the first part we spend in line to meet the Young Bucks, and we get through that, and we didn't get to meet Cody Rhodes because he'd already had to go get ready,
yeah,
or whatever. So we get up there, and Marty Scurll is signing stuff, and right before we get up there, they take him, and I'm about to cry. I'm just like, oh my God, he's not going to come back. Oh my God, it's the whole reason we came. Ah, ah. And then we get up there, and there's Dalton Castle, and they almost get him, but he's like, no, I'm gonna get the rest of these people's autographs before I go out, which I thought was really cool of him, because he wasn't coming back out after the show. So there's people that were behind us that didn't get to meet him that probably got rain checks, or I don't know what they got, but they didn't get to meet Dalton Castle. And I got to hold the ROH champion belt. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and he was super cool, and you know, talking with everybody and cutting up, and was a super nice guy. But yeah, I knew, like, from the moment they announced it that, you know, Rosie was going to want to meet Marty Scurll. She don't have as many of his shirts as Ultramantis shirts yet, but she's working on it.
I don't think there's any wrestling shirts I can have as much as Ultramantis shirts. Yeah. I have literally like 17 Ultramantis shirts or so.
Yeah. So they said, they said, well,
I'm pretty sure I paid that dude's power bill at some point.
They'll be back at intermission. So I made sure to, I went back there like at the wrong time, like 2 or 3 different times, but I kept, every time I thought it was about to be intermission, I kept running down there to make sure that I figured out where he was going to be in line so we could get her in line to get a picture with him. So you got to meet him, and how was that?
I was awesome. He was awesome. He called me love.
I was like, he called you love with his British accent and gave you a hug and signed your picture and liked your shirt. So
yeah,
that had to be pretty.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. He's definitely shorter than I thought.
Which is usually the case with most usually, ROH guys.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, you know, they're kind of short on TV, but you can't tell how short until you meet them. It's like, he's my height. Well, actually, he was a little under my height, so it was just like, that's, I don't know.
I guess the ROH guy that stood out to me the most in all the ones we met over the years as being the smallest, I mean, he's muscular, but it was Michael Elgin. We both towered over Michael Elgin.
I mean, I don't know, watching him on TV all that time we watched him, I thought, well, that dude looks like he's about 6 foot tall or something. Big old dude or whatever. And then we meet him, he's like 5 foot tall.
Yeah, you look at the picture and we're both taller than he is.
Yeah.
But so that was a fun show, and we're hoping to maybe get to go again. I don't know if the July show is going to work out like we thought, so maybe they'll come back later in the year and we'll get to go to one. But we're going to WrestleCade again, so we'll have us a WrestleCade podcast later this year. And I don't guess we ever did one for last year's.
I don't think we did.
I don't know if you saw this, but I saw today where James Ellsworth's going to be at the Parade of Champions or whatever the thing on Friday night. Whatever.
Yes.
Not Parade of Champions, but
Showcase
of Champions. He's going to be there.
We'll get our James Ellsworth doll signed.
That's right.
Awesome.
So that'll be cool. And they've already announced several good people, and they ain't even really got started yet. So it should be another good year for WrestleCade. And then
we got front
contemplating. Row. That's right. We got front row this year for the first time. So that should be fun.
Yep.
And we are contemplating if they have another one next year, possibly going on the Cruise of Jericho next year.
Yes.
So that will be interesting to say the least. So we'll see how this one does. I guess they'll figure out if they're going to do another one. But anything else that we need to cover in this podcast before we sign off?
Before I take more pain medicine?
Yeah, before you take more pain medicine. We may have a bonus feature later if you get really really messed up on the pain medicine.
Maybe.
That I don't know. Those don't seem to do you like that as much.
They don't. I can't remember what I was taking before.
Before you were like, hey, you know, like special.
Tramadols.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, Tramadols make me that way. Yeah. Toradol and Tramadol.
These just kind of...
These just make me not hurt.
I guess they work as intended. The pain pill that actually makes you just not hurt.
Yeah.
Not act like a
idiot. You know,
yeah.
So. Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, if that's all, I guess we're going to wrap up this week. You know, we're going to do the show much like we did it in the past. We'll pick topics to discuss that we hope people will find interesting, that we find interesting. We'll tell about our travels and adventures, different places we go, things we do, shows we watch, movies we like, stuff like that.
I will tell you a surprising fact I found out about anesthesia, though.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't know all the things that I have researched in the last month about gallbladder surgery and anesthesia and different things, you know, trying to prepare myself for my first surgery, because I, like many people, well, especially me, I'm a germaphobe. And in addition to being a germaphobe, I have never had to go into the hospital for anything. I mean, I've had, you know, like, I fractured my ankle one time, and they didn't really have to put it in a cast. I just got, like, this little air cast thing on it. I got lucky there. I fell down a flight of stairs one Halloween, thought I broke my arm. I didn't really do anything to it other than it got put in a sling, you know. I think I sprung it. I've had two IVs in my entire life at this, well, now three, but I've had, at that point, two IVs in my entire life.
Right.
You know, and, I mean, I was thoroughly upset at the fact that I was going to have to get cut and put to sleep. And so, you know, I don't know, I'd had this theory that if it was my leg or it was my arm or it was, you know, any appendage, I could deal with it better than I could my internal, you know, abdomen and stuff like that, because that's like your definite insides, and it's like, oh my God, you know, that's just terrifying to me. Somebody's going to have to cut in and go into that.
Getting them guts.
Exactly, like literally. And so, you know, I didn't know that I would end up getting basically a trach put down my throat.
Yeah.
With anesthesia and air. I knew that I would have, like, I had seen and read, you know, they would put a, you know, a tube for breathing, but I didn't realize that this would go part way down, all the way into my throat. So when I wake up, I'm really, well, even now, my throat's still irritated, but I mean, yesterday, it was bad yesterday, like burning, and, you know, I couldn't, yeah. I drunk 20 bottles of water last night because my throat was just so dry and stuff from that. But they put me on the table, and, you know, it's like, as soon as they put me on the table, they give me the stuff, I'm out. Like, I thought they just put it through the IV. I had no idea until I woke up and my throat's all like, oh my God. I'm like, what did they do to my throat? And the guy's like, they put the tube down your throat that feeds, basically, like, the keeps the anesthesia fed through the tube into your breathing, mm-hmm. so that it keeps you asleep during the procedure. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. So that was an interesting thing. I'm glad I didn't know that beforehand, because I probably would have freaked out a little bit more about it.
Yeah.
So, but that is, apparently it's a very common thing now with anesthesia that they do. So if you've never had anesthesia, just prepare yourself that your throat's going to suck for a few days because they put a tube down it.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, that prevents you from suddenly waking up at an inopportune time.
Oh, that would be terrible.
You'd have to think that must happen sometimes for them to make that a regular occurrence now.
So. Yeah. Like, I could imagine nothing more traumatizing than waking up in the midst of somebody doing surgery on you. Like,
yeah.
Oh, not cool.
Not cool at all. Well, we appreciate everybody that's sat and listened to this week's podcast. Just remember, tonight when you lay down and go to bed, tell your gallbladder you love it, because you don't know when it might have to be gone one of these days. And
yeah, and it's just one of those things where, like, it's useless until it decides it wants to crap out, and then it almost kills you. So just know that it's there, and one day it could just go, and then you'll have to go get it out.
Right. So.
But it's not that bad, though. So
show it some love and
yeah. Try to eat better.
Pour a little out on the curb tonight for Rezzy's gallbladder. R.I.P. Rezzy's gallbladder.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah. All right, check it out. Check us out next week or in 2 weeks, whenever we decide to post another one of these. I can't promise you these are going to be a weekly thing, but we're going to post them as regularly as we can. And if there's any fun topics or anything you would like to hear us talk about on here, feel free to message us on Facebook, or you can email me, genejackson95@gmail.com. You can add me on Facebook at facebook.com/kingofallwrestlingmedia. You can follow me on Twitter at genejackson95 or on Instagram. I know you don't have a Twitter going on anymore, but how can I add you on the Facebooks?
It's just Rose Jackson.
There you go. It's just Rose Jackson.
Yeah, I'm not that complicated.
It's not literally, though, the words just Rose Jackson.
No, it's Rose Jackson.
I think there's a number thrown in there, too, though, so...
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
I think if you just Googled Rose Jackson, it would pull my face up, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, there's Rose Jackson.
That's okay. Rosie's face.
I have a Marty Scurll shirt on, so...
Most of the time, yeah. So, if not, you can pull me up, and then it has her listed as my wife.
Yeah.
So there's that way, too.
Yeah.
So if you have any inclination to follow us on any of the social medias, please do so. And we'll catch you next time here on the Jackson Reaction podcast. And we'll be less serious next time, right?
Yes, less serious.